Sovereignty with Elizabeth, and we're in studio today with Dr. Erica Way from Beyond Wellness, Beyond Oxygen, Beyond Chiropractic, and Alex from Coyote Star Astrology. And we are going to have a conversation today regarding how our wounds are the keys to our freedom and the current energies that we are working with this spring astrologically. You won't want to miss it.
There is something new in the air. Can you feel it? This is Dr. Erica Way. 17 years ago, I opened up Beyond Chiropractic, a holistic clinic that specializes in applied kinesiology, functional medicine, and quantum neuro reset therapy. My mission then and now is to empower my patients so they can transform their health and manifest their optimal life. Well, now I'm taking it to a whole new level. Introducing Beyond Oxygen. Beyond Oxygen is a hyperbaric oxygen clinic that offers the revolutionary healing strategy of oxygen under pressure. With hyperbaric oxygen, you can saturate the plasma and tissues with oxygen, restore cellular energy, repair tissue, and heal. Get started towards optimal health today. Visit oxygenandbeyond.com to call and book your appointment.
At the School for Higher Consciousness, we are committed to raising the level of consciousness on the planet by educating and empowering people to grow, evolve, and live well. We are dedicated to supporting people through this critical time on the planet. Our classes provide a path that deeply connects you to your inner power and higher levels of consciousness. We inspire, teach, and empower people to develop the skills and practices needed to energetically heal, grow, and connect more fully to their life purpose. Learn more at schoolforhigherconsciousness.com, schoolforhigherconsciousness.com. We're in Sovereignty with Elizabeth, and we're in studio with Alex of Coyote Star Astrology and Dr. Erica Way of Beyond Wellness. And we're really thrilled to bring you this show as we explore sovereignty and how our greatest wounds can be the key to our freedom and sovereignty today. And we're going to be taking a dive into that with these two lovely co-hosts I have in studio. So welcome, Alex. Welcome, Dr. Erica.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to be with both of you. As always, they're both long-term friends of the show and have been on before. But I'm really thrilled to be talking about how that greatest wound that each of us have, like a major wound that we've come in each lifetime to heal, to grow the mastery of our soul's gifts, talents, and attributes so that we can become more of our, what I feel like our divine self in human form. We can become more skillful. And in the astrological chart, that often shows up as Chiron. And we're going to kind of open that up from all our modalities and our curiosities and how we've each been on our self-healing journeys with our own soul growth in this current lifetime. But I know that happens over lifetimes. So I'm going to open it up. We can go any direction we want.
All right. I'll jump in. I think that the first thing I want to say, I mean, I understand that we're focusing on Chiron, but I also want to widen it a little bit to remind us that the entire birth chart, every placement in the birth chart, in fact, has a low frequency and a high frequency. And we see that expressed through our character. And it's sort of, it's the soul that drives the blueprint of the chart and dictates how that chart is going to be expressed. And the chart also overlays with the human body and all of the organs and meridians. So as our soul navigates its incarnation and chooses day to day to express either in the low frequency or the high frequency, our organs are responding to those energetic choices. And so any kind of dis-ease or disharmony is really sort of like a part of our body raising its hand and giving us an alert that something needs to be brought back into balance. And of course, if we ignore those subtle signals over time, this leads to a greater dis-ease. So any illness or dis-ease is an opportunity to bring back that harmony on a physical level and a soul level. And I mean, that's really what Erica does for a living, is helps people, right, in that process, and me as well, but we're doing it kind of from different sides. But they go hand in hand, in the sense that if you're only doing the energetic work, the body needs support. And if you're only doing the physical side of things, you're not tending to the energetic part that needs attention.
It's totally, completely true. And yeah, that's well phrased, Alex. Dr. Erica.
Yeah, I what I love about astrology, and I am literally just passionate about it. Anyway, what I love is I can see that astrology often validates a person's process and what they're going through right now. And with my client base, if there's something major going on in the collective, you know, then I will say, you know, I see the themes. And I also then validate that with a patient and say, you're not alone. And we're all doing this, and we're being given an opportunity to have this move out. It just doesn't always feel good, but we can ride the wave if we want to. And it just, I think it helps people move out of the human tendency to have a victim consciousness, first of all. And second of all, it also just lets them know that they're not alone, because we're all moving through it as humanity. And so it's super fun to be able to hear it from all the different perspectives. I love the astrology piece, and I love how you describe that, Alex. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with like your perception of like that it is the blueprint that overlays the soul's journey. And something that, you know, I tended toward initially in my own healing journey and as a practitioner toward the energetics. But I started to feel like, oh my gosh, my physical body needs support. And that's where yoga and Ayurveda started to come into play, from a yoga therapy and somatic Ayurveda perspective of like, okay, but the physical body has to actually ground the energetic, and they both interplay. Like,
absolutely.
And that took me a long time, because I was so drawn to the ethereal and the energetics, and then understanding how our birth chart actually has certain themes, that it's actually all happening for me to grow and evolve, even if I don't always enjoy it. And it's happening for the people I get to partner with on their own healing journeys, even if it causes us to push against things or into disharmony, so that we can awaken and choose harmony in a higher consciousness and a higher thinking and feeling state to what is being presented that are our lessons.
Right. Yeah. And I tell my clients often, if you start pull, like the connection between the energetic and the physical, if you start to pull on one, the other one will start to come with it. And it doesn't really matter what side you choose. What matters is that you pay attention to the lessons coming from both avenues, rather than ignoring the energetic emotional and only focusing on the supplementation or whatever else you're doing physically. But I think maybe I'll just give people a brief example so that they can kind of understand it in their own mind if they've never experienced it. So when I was saying that every part of the chart has a low frequency and high frequency. And I very much view that like a dial. So if we take a singular placement, let's say Mercury in Scorpio. If you have Mercury in Scorpio, it's your soul and the level of your soul, which is more or less based on how many lifetimes lived, the ascension process, It's your soul that will decide how that Mercury in Scorpio is going to act within certain circumstances. So with a Mercury in Scorpio, the lower spectrum or the more primal, less evolved state would be those classic Scorpio shadows we think of: jealousy, envy, possessiveness, obsession, etc. However, the high frequency of Scorpio is that more psychic, intuitive, investigative, incredibly intelligent, probing side of Scorpio. So this is why it's very dangerous when people assign people characteristics based on their birth chart. That's not how it works. It's the soul that's choosing based on a spectrum of how that particular placement is likely to react under pressure based on its archetype. So behind Mercury and Scorpio, we also have various parts of the body that are connected to Mercury and Scorpio. And then we also have various themes astrologically. Mercury is connected to siblings. Scorpio is connected to addiction and abandonment. So just to give a very basic example, if I had a client that was struggling with an illness or a dis-ease, I would look at what was transiting their chart, look at the body parts involved, and then on a psychological level, I might start asking them questions like what their relationship like is with their sibling. And that may open up a whole conversation about something unhealed with the sibling that the body is bringing to the surface. This is a very simplified example, but then I would want to team up with somebody like Erica who has more knowledge on the health side of things. And that's when you really get the dream team, or even more powerful if you had an herbalist astrologer that knew the plants that were connected with that particular planet, because that's a whole thing too.
And the gemstones and the light frequencies.
Like, this is where we're all studying to be masters of, right? Is how to work with the technology of the body, because it's actually all there and available. It's more just us remembering how to use it. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's so interesting, as Pluto is really trying to make its home in Aquarius, right? It's really apropos.
Transform or die.
Okay, so I guess that isn't how I would have put it. So sorry. But,
that's but, how I kind of, that Plutonian energy is like.
Well, it's just that people are interested in this conversation, that more and more people are coming to the surface. Always use discernment. Because not everyone anyway is who they, but it's very exciting. And I love when you talk about the blueprint of the soul and how many lifetimes you've had, because I think that's huge. Mm-hmm. And when you do energetic work and clear lifetimes and do all of those things, which I know Elizabeth and I do through our training, but also the idea of how can we ascend in this lifetime? Mm-hmm. I mean, if we come in at a certain frequency, or I think the blueprint, and you would speak to that, of course, is maybe a roadmap to how we can shift and change, and then use the planetary support as these transits hit us to really become ascended masters in human form.
It's the map to ascension.
Map to ascension. I love that. And of course, from a physical perspective, I do love that. And I know you and I have talked about that before, Alex, but I love how the chart does, and astrology has a whole physical aspect to it. But the healthier you are, the cleaner you eat, the more care you take of that physical body, the higher frequency you can actually hold as a human being, right, in this 3D form. So you know, there's like a motivation almost to say,
right,
you know, Oreos don't equal, you know, high vibration. They just, you know, are delicious. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love what you're bringing forward, Erica, because I think it is this beautiful infinity dance of like, what are the energetics mentally, emotionally, physically that we're putting in our bodies? Right. Mm-hmm. Including the food, including what, like, we intake movies, or we intake information or relationships, right? Those all have a certain ingredient. And whatever that ingredient is, if it's more aligned with love and source frequencies, it supports our energetics. That then if we go through this infinity sign of grounding it in the physical realm, we can manifest more skillfully that healing journey, right? At least this is what I've found, and heal that wound, even if it's a stubborn one, like I've had with my experience with alopecia, is then grounding it back through that infinity sign, bringing more of that energetics. And it's this beautiful dance of like, how do we like learn that the qualities we put in energetically and physically, and then go through that wound that we're trying to heal, that Chiron in our chart that's influenced by all the different planets, by the soul's impression in this lifetime. Like, what are those? Can we become curious and conscious of the ingredients and the qualities that we are placing on our energetic practices and our physical practices, and then pass through that wound that is the key to our freedom?
Right. Right. And I love that the astrology is the roadmap that helps us understand the complexities of it, because, for example, you know, when someone's facing a serious disease or illness, I've seen it, I've felt it, and I can understand that the simple concept that your disease could be the result of something you haven't worked through, that can feel disarming sometimes, especially when you feel like you are doing the work and you are trying to forgive who you need to forgive and all this stuff. But it's so complex. There's subconscious things that are going on. There's ancestral things that are going on. It's not as simple as forgive that friend you're pissed at and your cancer will go away. It's I wish it was that simple, but it's so much more in the background. And maybe this is a good time to bring in Chiron, because Chiron is, I think of it as like this little thorn in the chart that is like an extra sharp pain that is actually so painful, your psyche typically likes to block it out and disassociate, because it's that deep. And Chiron energy and Chiron transits, which we are all in right now, I can speak on that in a minute if we have time, is about unlocking that painful wound to get to what's on the other side. So the chart is really your navigational system to like, well, what do I focus on? What is this illness trying to tell me? Because there's so many things it could be. I mean, we're triggered daily, you know, but there's these real important ones that are energetically lodged and setting off systems and dysregulating. You know what I mean? So it's, I guess it's complex, is my point.
I would have to agree on that. And I would love to hear more about Chiron, because I've got some thoughts that I would bring in after you maybe spoke more to that.
Okay. Well, where...
You mentioned you were going to talk more about how it's in the collective and how we're all kind of in
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah. So at this moment in time, we're all going through a transit known as Chiron at the North Node. And for those that don't know, the North Node of the Moon is the marker in the current chart of where we are all as a collective meant to be evolving towards together. So it's sort of what unites us all, which is what I love about the North Node, is that we all have our different charts with the different signatures. However, the North Node and where the North Node is transiting at this point in time is what we are all evolving towards together. And this is a part of the ascension process. And Chiron, which is an asteroid known as the Wounded Healer, is currently making what's called a conjunction with the North Node, meaning they are traveling together. I believe they're at this point about 1 degree apart, still very close. Mm-hmm. We've been in this energy for the last several weeks. So with the North Node, and the North Node being in Aries, which is the opposite of Libra is about being in relationship and communication. companionship. We are all being tested right now to actually go in the opposite direction and prioritize our own personal path. This is necessarily taking many of us out of certain relationships if those relationships are not in alignment with our personal path. The presence of Chiron there adds this dimension of tenderness and pain, as each person has to necessarily walk away from situations and people that they potentially don't want to walk away from. The Chiron aspect brings in this this wound. It hurts. It's like it's hard goodbyes, difficult conversations. And the relationships that stay through this portal are going to be the ones that can withstand the shamanic healing process that Chiron requires, which is very vulnerable, very raw, very transparent, because it requires both participants to be honest about exactly what it is they need, not sugarcoat, not people please, not acquiesce to things that they don't want to do, but be sort of sacredly selfish and radically honest of, this is what I desire. Aries rules desire. So it's those real conversations. And the partnerships and friendships that can't support that will be falling away now. So the Chiron, the healing aspect is, of course, we can see that this is actually a very positive thing, because once we've gone through that initiation, what's left is what's authentic. But the process isn't easy, and anything with Chiron, it never is. Chiron, it actually, I feel Chiron. He's one of the only planets that I physically feel in my body, or planetary body. He's an asteroid. But I feel him like my chest aches when I tap into his energy. It does hurt. So we are all very much in that at this time. We have been for several weeks. We are all seeing deep, deep healing on many levels. And where this is hitting your chart, this can be in a different area of life. But we are in a little bit of a painful, raw portal at this time with Chiron.
You know, it's so interesting, because I think about the way you described, Elizabeth, the infinity symbol, and it is in two of my logos, right? It's in Beyond Oxygen and Beyond Chiropractic. And I think about Chiron, right, the thorn. And so sometimes if we want to stay in the flow of healing and ascension, right, it feels like very much a flow, the thorn can get us stuck. And so relationships, I mean, it's really kind of a beautiful time before we go fully into the new earth or into where we're going, because if we can heal those relationship traumas, whether they're current, past life, or ancestral, because we carry these patterns forward through in our DNA, and get unstuck, I think we can bring in healing at a much faster rate. And that's where, I love using quantum neural reset therapy with my patients, where we can reset subconscious emotional triggers. And where do they start? Well, our relationships with our moms and our relationship with our dads, right? I mean, is typically in childhood when the traumas are set. But
and even our relationships with ourselves.
Well, that's fair.
I mean, I'm just like, I like listening to you. It's like, you know, I know I came in with certain like traumas with myself, and even incarnating can be a trauma.
Well, certainly birth can. So for both people, but I think about the concept of being born perfect. This is a strong belief that I hold. We weren't born with chronic disease. We weren't born with diabetes or depression or anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I think about, When a child is born, their chalkboard or the whiteboard is blank, and we get messages written on it, and then those messages, unlovable, not good enough, you know, all of the ways we perceive things from the development of our brain at the time we perceive it, right? So is then how I think we start defining ourselves, right? It's the mirror in which we use to, you know, when you say relationship with self, it feels like that can be based on how we were mirrored as a child, mm-hmm. or appropriately or inappropriately.
Yeah,
for sure. I think it, you know, I think that concept of like born perfect, or that we all have the potential to be whole as we are, right? And not organize around symptom patterns.
Yes.
Of at least part of my learning and growth in this lifetime is like, I'm not my symptom. I'm not my symptom pattern. It gets a lot of my attention sometimes because it's a physical outward expression of what I've gone through. But the more I don't organize around that and actually can organize around my fullest potential as a human and my birthright of perfect health, right? To heal the ancestral patterns, to heal the trauma, karma, emotional, and belief system patterns, the more skillful I actually become and more energy arises because I'm no longer attached to the pain body, but attached to what's that's masking all of that, but actually starting to shine what never dies, which is that like, the soul beyond the soul, that Atman, that light, that frequency that I'm trying to learn to hold and manifest here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the phrase born perfect helps me remember that my body really knows how to be well and wants it as badly as I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're dealing with chronic illness, which I've been working with Erica through some things, you can be so physically uncomfortable that you can really forget that your body knows how to do this. It really does. And it's just as interested in figuring it out as you are. Mm-hmm. She actually said those words to me recently during a liver flush where I was particularly emotional and felt like the world was crumbling around me. Oh. And she said that, and I was like, it did bring me back to center because it connected me like a thread back to birth when things were more regulated. And it was like, okay, we're going to balance the scales, but we have to go through this process. And, I've had some very stubborn health things that we're still figuring out, and I can't really figure out where they're coming from. And I, like you were saying with your alopecia, it's like I just keep reminding myself if the symptoms are persisting, then there's something left to figure out. And mm-hmm. I just have to keep digging, and I'm getting closer. And I know that I am because doors are opening, but it's not there yet. And that means there's more information. My body still wants me to know something that I don't see.
Yeah. And I mean, well said. And I think, I know for me, if I can stay more in the curious realm versus in the hopeless realm that I can sometimes dip into, and Erica and Alex, you've both witnessed when I've dipped into those moments of like, oh, here I am again. Mm-hmm. If I can stay more in the curious and self-inquiry and compassionate phrase of like, okay, what is this telling me? What karma is my body completing with this unease, with this expression? What, because, you know, one of the best definitions, and I say it all the time, but I think it's worthy of repeating, of karma that I've ever heard is, if I want to understand my past karma, look at my present condition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I want to understand my future karma, look at my present choices, right? Which gives us so much power to make choices that are more in alignment with where our body's natural self-healing tendencies want to bring us. Mm-hmm. And it's not always easy. And it's not always easy with, you know, for my own journey. And I've even had to like shift my language around like, when I talk about alopecia, right? Like instead of saying my alopecia, because it's not mine. Like I don't have to own it.
Yeah.
The experience I'm having with alopecia, right? Yeah. And it's showing me where the roots of that experience come from and how maybe now it's okay for me to sense and feel and have all my antennas because hair is a natural extension, you know, of sensing and feeling. But at the time when my body decided that wasn't safe, it was like a self-protective coping mechanism that I needed to survive, to not sense and feel the intensity of what was happening, mm-hmm. right? And now it's learning to listen to my body and give it the nourishment it needs instead of the depletion energy that I was in, and get rid of any like toxins that are blocking my pathways, right? Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and try to step into almost, for at least for me, like a non-attachment. Like, yes, would I love to have all my hair back? Sure. Do I have to be attached that I'll only be happy when all my hair is back? No, because I miss the point of the journey. And yes. For so long, I was sort of stuck in, I'll be happy when.
Well, yeah. That's so interesting. I was having a meditation this morning. Mm-hmm. And when, Alex, when you talk about the blueprint, right, and that the planets that you come in with and the soul chooses a frequency, that we get to choose the frequency daily in choices, right? So if we're talking about karma, if we're talking about that sort of thing. But it came to me today when I was doing a Joe Dispenza meditation that the way I wanted to handle things moving forward was from the perspective of my future self, my optimal future self, right? Mm-hmm. To say, if she's coming to me saying, what would I have done differently if I could do it over again in the present moment for now?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
It's a little hashtag real right there. And it's like, what? Oh, my gosh. Truly, like, was such a moment for me of, and again, and here's the big picture, and just listening to you both is like, if we have all chosen to come into this lifetime to help other people with our chosen modalities and instincts and intuitions, we can't help other people through a healing process that we don't have access to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as healers, you come in to experience it so that you can help other people, and the tenacity and integrity in which you do that is how you attract people in, and then the people that you want to attract. Because if we're working to help people through whatever our modalities are, and we give up and we don't like it and we have our pouts and our low frequency behavior, then that's who we're going to attract. And it's not going to be, it's, you know, it's harder to help that frequency. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say about that. That was really fun. Okay.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Well said. What about these, like, we're in the middle of some eclipse energies and when this show is going to be shared, we'll be in the thick of it. And I think it might be beneficial to just talk a little bit about that as it pertains to this present moment, working with the collective, Chiron and Aries, and people stepping more into their authenticity, even through that wounded portal that's intense. And I look at some of my kids' charts and they're being lit up like Christmas trees. And I feel like I get one, you know, like, okay, we got through that. And then the next one feels like whack-a-mole right now in my house. But anyway, it totally helps to have some understanding of their own astrological journey. So what about the collective?
Absolutely.
And
the eclipses happen at the nodes, the nodal axis that I was explaining before. That's what makes eclipses so powerful is an eclipse is a new moon or full moon at those karmic gateways. The nodes are literal portals. Like, all of astrology is pretty far out, but the nodes are definitely the most metaphysical woo-woo part of the chart to me, in the sense that they are literally portals to other dimensions, into the past and our past incarnations and into the future and our destiny. And an eclipse is a beginning, a new cycle at those gateways, or a full moon and illumination of those gateways. So that's why eclipses have that kind of otherworldly, supernatural type of feeling, where the veil feels very thin around that time. So we're going to have two eclipses, March 25th and April 8th. So it sounds like when this airs, we'll be sort of really entrenched in that very otherworldly kind of eclipse energy. And the real theme is going to be what I talked about before, which is that each soul is going to be powerfully called to that North Node in Aries, and is going to have to be really honest with themselves about what their actual desires are around their destiny. And what will make it a little complicated is that in order to answer those honest questions about what they truly want, who they truly are, they're going to have to be honest with themselves about where they actually are within certain relationships. And I know when I use the word relationships, I think everybody tends to go right to romantic relationships. And that makes sense, because they often are our most intimate counterparts. And so that is often the front seat. But I'm talking about all kinds of relationships, friendships, business relationships, colleagues. Any interpersonal relationship can be serving as the teacher for this lesson. And it's unlikely to just be one relationship. This is going to be an energy that is mirrored around you microcosmically and macrocosmically in your life, of noticing where you over sacrifice for relationships, noticing where you say yes when you really want to say no. That's that kind of people-pleasing Libra energy. And a lot of this has to do with personal boundaries and how to set them and enforce them gracefully without feeling any sense of guilt, but really being in that full embodiment of who you really are. So that's the overall overarching essence of this eclipse season. However, I do want to mention that there is a Mercury retrograde that is occurring throughout that entire time, that will actually not be moving forward until end of April. So April 25th is a very important date that is aside from the eclipses, in the sense that Mercury retrograde will be going direct at the North Node. So what that means is that this Mercury retrogrades are a period for reflection. This Mercury retrograde is happening at that North Node evolutionary gateway of destiny. So that means that this Mercury retrograde is not your standard Mercury retrograde. There are many Mercury retrogrades that are somewhat benign. It happens many times a year. It's not really that big of a deal. Mercury retrograde at the North Node is a big deal. That means that the decisions you make when Mercury goes direct are around everything I was just talking about. So when Mercury goes direct on April 25th, you will have gone through a whole reflection period for the month prior during those eclipses. Things with relationships are going to be coming up. You're going to be wondering about your direction. And the thing you're going to have to ask yourself is, what is best for me? What do I truly want? Even if that means walking away from this person, even if that means saying the thing that's going to upset that person, what is my honest, authentic desire in this life? That is going to be your compass. So the eclipses are sort of going to, they're going to bring up a lot, but I think it's going to be that Mercury direct on April 25th and the following weeks after that, as Mercury completes its post shadow, that about 2.5 weeks after that, roughly three maybe, where things, the chips fall, right? How much time do we have?
We have another like 12 minutes or so.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, then there's something else I just realized. We can't talk about that time and not talk about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction.
I know. I was wondering if you were going to bring that forward, but I didn't want to.
It would be really, really weird if I didn't.
I didn't want to pull that forward and then.
I was just looking at I was like, oh God, that would just be strange. Yeah, we have to talk about that. It's kind of a thing.
Okay, so to recap for our listeners really quick, we have the eclipses, yes. March 25th and April 7th, 8th, yes. Depending where you are in the world.
Yes.
Right? And then Mercury going retrograde, can you give us those dates? It goes direct on April 25th.
Goes direct on April 25th. Goes retrograde on April 1st.
Okay, so wow, it's really happening. Like, the retrograde is really happening in the midst of those eclipse portals.
Exactly.
And then as it goes direct on the 25th and moves out of its post shadow for 2 to 3 weeks there, all the chips are going to fall. But there's an important part that Alex is about to bring forward for us. So this Uranus-Jupiter conjunction, so go. I just wanted to recap because for some people who this might be new for, it's sometimes helpful to hear it twice.
Of course.
Yeah. Four or five times.
Thank you. That helped me too. Okay. Whew. This is huge. So
yes,
in the background of all of that, there is a transit known as Jupiter conjunct Uranus, which is astrology speak for the planet Jupiter and the planet Uranus are going to meet up in the sky. This is somewhat rare. The last time these two met up at all was in 2010, 2011 in the sign of Pisces. The last time they met up in the sign of Taurus, where they are currently and will be in April, was the year 1941, which was a big year, right? And so these two planets are going to be checking in and they're going to be merging energies. So when two planets come together and form a conjunction, they merge. So to give you a visual, if one was the color red and the other was the color yellow, they're going to make orange. They're going to come together and they're going to fuse their energies and they're going to combine their energies together. Jupiter, his side of things, he is a magnifier. So he makes everything bigger. Imagine taking a magnifying glass and putting it on something. He's going to make whatever he's touching larger than life. And this is positively and negatively, for better or for worse. If our bank account expands, we're happy. If a tumor expands, we're not happy. So Jupiter, it's either or. He just makes it bigger no matter what it is. He's going to be cozied up with Uranus. Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius. So Aquarius is this maverick of an archetype. It's a very interesting archetype in the sense that Aquarius is known for the unexpected. So it's associated with surprises, unexpected plot twists. And this sort of creates turbulence for us in our life in the sense that when things change on us out of nowhere, even if they're good, this does create kind of high voltage shock waves that disrupt our normal pattern and our normal programming. On a metaphysical level, what Uranus actually rules is Kundalini. So this is actually a Kundalini awakening. It's a Kundalini surge that we're all going to be experiencing at the same time. This is actually coming in now. And well, as we film this, which what is the date today? March 13th. But we're starting to feel it end of March for sure. Those that are more sensitive will start to feel it around March 20th. It's going to be building and building and building, and it's going to be climaxing at its peak middle of April, particularly around April 17th to April 20th. So what can people expect? Change. That's the biggest word I could just label it with would be change, but we use that word a lot, right? Transformation, change, blah, blah, blah. No, this is change you can't see coming. This is like something that kind of shocks you, and it can be a good surprise, or a not so good surprise. It depends on how this is hitting your chart. I've been telling everyone in my life, I don't really know what I'm doing after April. I'm making plans. Obviously, I have to. But I also know that that transit can create such a ripple effect of change where you can come around a corner, meet a person that changes your whole timeline. You can think that you're set to move here, and then you get an unexpected job offer that has you moving on the other side of the country. You know, this isn't all negative.
With that eclipse in there, because like eclipses, right. Like another way that I think of eclipses, and I don't know if this resonates with you, Alex, is like they're eclipsing out what is no longer and eclipsing in what is toward our destiny.
Yeah.
And I almost think of it like when you're a kid and you take a bunch of jump ropes, and if each jump rope is a timeline, someone's holding all the jump ropes and just like up and down until they like land where it's supposed to go. And when I think about that Uranus energy of like supporting the Kundalini and the awakening and the ascension, one of the things I feel like, okay, well, it's good to know all of this. And then how do I, as much as I can, given the surprise aspect of Uranus, work skillfully with supporting my nervous system so it can hold that higher frequency? What are the routines that my body needs to ground that Kundalini arising, so it doesn't just like blow me out, but like actually can integrate and support me with whatever shocks, surprises, unexpected comings of the Uranus-Jupiter conjunction, or the merging of those two planets, as you beautifully put it, to make that new color orange, I mean, so to speak.
Yeah, I think you have to go at your own pace, you know, you have to really go at your own pace and know that you're calibrating more information than you even realize. And I don't use phrases like that just to use them. It's the truth. Uranus is it's information, it's downloads, literally. And you're getting more of them than you probably even realize at this moment in time, and especially in April. And I also want to make the point that Uranus is known for shifts in perspective. So one of the things I look forward to the most with Uranian transits is I know that Uranus has the ability to objectively help me view my life and the situations that I'm navigating from a view that I've never had before. It's like he's going to turn the light bulb on upstairs and help me see something that I desperately need to see. So April in general, I think, is veiled with this really beautiful opportunity for every single person to allow to see things completely differently in a way that's going to surprise them and lead to, I mean, Uranus is called the awakener for a reason. He's here to awaken us. He's here to help us ascend. He has to kind of toss us around a little bit to get us where we need to go, but that's what he's doing. He's actually on our side. In a vacuum, Uranus is a great planet. He can cause some chaos in his process for sure, but Uranus really is just trying to give us those zaps of higher consciousness to get us on the right track. So it's a very exciting time. I guess the last thing I'll say with regards to the Mercury retrograde and the eclipses at the same time is it's just let April happen. Just let it come and bring you all of that information. And then like May, I think, is going to be a lot of integration. And we've got the Mercury post-shadow, which I looked. It looks like post-shadow actually ends on May 11th. So it's not even that much further. And then we have some really beautiful energies that start the beginning of June that look very refreshing. It looks like we got our downloads, we integrated them, and now we're kind of on our way. But yes, April is, and even this month, March, is it's very up in the air. It's a little odd.
Yeah, indeed. Well, As we wrap up this show, first of all, I want to say thank you for sharing your wisdom, your insights, both you and Dr. Erica. It's always such an honor and a privilege to be in relationship and conversation with both of you, wise, wise souls and inspirational souls, and all
the
work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bringing onto the planet. And I guess one invitation I'll give our community of listeners is like to stay curious and open about what wounds are up for healing at this time, and try to stay in a compassionate space with yourself, take it bit by bit. And I don't know if you have anything you want to leave with the listeners. Alex, you've given so much, but if there's any last thoughts.
I think that's a good closing point. Thank you so much for having me on, Elizabeth. It's always so much fun.
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. And if you are looking to work with Dr. Erica, she's at Beyond Wellness. Please check her out. She's phenomenal at what she does. And she is very accessible. And if you are interested in working with Alex at Coyote Star Astrology, Alex, give the listeners your website, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm at coyotestarastrology.com. You can find my courses, and I'm also available for one-on-one sessions that are all outlined there. And then I do weekly and bi-monthly forecasts on YouTube under Coyote Star Astrology and Instagram. And I'm also on TikTok. I just got it. I'm not really that active, but I'm that's where I'm at.
That's brave. And definitely can't recommend Alex enough either. Both are phenomenal people to do some work with and help you navigate your journey and your healing journey, but just your incarnation more skillfully with greater ease and more joy. So thank you all for tuning in today. This is Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth and guest co-hosts Alex of Coyote Star Astrology and Dr. Erica from Beyond Wellness.
Thank you so much.
If stress, pain, or fatigue are part of your life, then consider that your pain and tension may be indicators of what's amiss in your life, and it's time for a new perspective. At Resolve Pain Guru, we're here to help you reconnect with yourself, release tension and pain, move better, and sleep better so that you can do more of what you love. You have the power to take control of your healing journey with our online 6-week Change Your Pain course. Learn somatic practices to tap into the wisdom of your body, and then learn to trust your intuition. Challenge your thinking and embark on a transformative journey with Resolve Pain Guru as your guide, unlocking infinite rewards along the way. Experience the life-changing benefits of somatic practices at resolvepainguru.com. Register for our 6-week Pain Relief Starter Series and start your journey to a pain-free life of joy. That's resolvepainguru.com. resolvepainguru.com.
I'm Elizabeth Sullivan, owner of Soma Soul Sovereignty. I teach people to transform and heal their bodies, minds, and spirits and manifest higher consciousness. My hope with Soma Soul Sovereignty is that you open up to the power to heal yourself. We believe the power to heal is within each of us. It supports us coming home to ourselves and our authenticity. The alchemy of Soma Yoga, Ayurveda, energy medicine, and multidimensional healing is a synergistic approach that supports this self-healing state within and around us. It is filled with common sense and a deep understanding of the beauty for life and consciousness. It reminds us that our true divine nature is light, aligned with love, and when we orientate toward it, much releases, heals, and transforms. Experience the power and freedom within and ways to support your body, mind, and spirit being unified. Soma Soul Sovereignty, awaken to your light within. For more information, visit elizabethsullivan.love or somasoulsovereignty.com. That's somasoulsovereignty.com.
There is something new in the air. Can you feel it? This is Dr. Erica Way. 17 years ago, I opened up Beyond Chiropractic, a holistic clinic that specializes in applied kinesiology, functional medicine, and quantum neuro reset therapy. My mission then and now is to empower my patients so they can transform their health and manifest their optimal life. Well, now I'm taking it to a whole new level. Introducing Beyond Oxygen. Beyond Oxygen is a hyperbaric oxygen clinic that offers the revolutionary healing strategy of oxygen under pressure. With hyperbaric oxygen, you can saturate the plasma and tissues with oxygen, restore cellular energy, repair tissue, and heal. Get started towards optimal health today. Visit oxygenandbeyond.com to call and book your appointment.
Sovereignty with Elizabeth and guest co-hosts Dr. Erica Way from BeyondChiropractic.com, BeyondOxygen.com, and Beyond Wellness, and Alex from CoyoteStarAstrology.com. And you can reach any of us at our respective websites. Mine is Soma Soul Sovereignty, and we're so glad that you joined us for our conversation today. These are exciting and turbulent times, and we hope you can navigate it with ease, grace, and ground these new energies to support your fullest potential. Thanks so much.